Welcome to episode one of From Paper to Clinic. I'm your host, Dr. Hamza Shah, and today we're joined by Dr. Austin Lifford. Dr. Lifford currently practices at the Center for Sight in Carmel, Indiana. He's a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry and a diplomat of the glaucoma section. I've had the pleasure of knowing Dr. Lifford for several years now. He's a fantastic clinician and amazing educator, and I'm very happy to have him join as our first guest. Dr. Lifford, thank you so much for joining in today.
Rashad, what a great honor. I love this idea, and thanks for bringing me on.
Thank you. You know, thanks for doing this we're having quite a snowy, icy day. So I think this is going to be a treat for both of us.
Worked out well, yes.
Yeah. The article that is inspiring our discussion today is called Interventional Glaucoma Consensus Treatment Protocol by Christine M. Funke and colleagues. Dr. Lifford, can you tell us a little bit about interventional glaucoma treatment and how does it differ from the traditional methods of treatment that we're so used to?
I think it helps by starting with the definition. And as I kind of look at it, Hamza, it's a proactive mindset given as procedural treatment. So in the past, we do kind of reflexive topical treatment. Let's try this drop first, see how it works, try another drop. That doesn't work, we'll try another drop. But this article is great. It gives us a consensus guidelines and recommendations for each of the stages of the disease and taking more of a proactive mindset to give us this proactive procedural treatment algorithm for us.
Do you think this progressive treatment paradigm of SLT sustained drug implants is beneficial? And if so, how so? And I know the article mentioned some of the reasons. What do you think?
I think it's a great article, and it's interesting. The viewers may not know the backstory behind how we got to this article, but we kind of found different articles that relate to interventional glaucoma, landed on this one, just with a great algorithm. I think it helps the patients because we can get better disease control, helps the providers because we have better options for managing the disease. And many times it helps the staff as well. There's so many times we get these callbacks on this medication is on formulary, what should we try next? Well, we could go to some procedural treatments. This saves them time and money. And also it's a benefit for society. There's less productivity lost at work setting. Patients are doing better. Their disease control is more controlled.
Yeah, those are all fantastic points. And, you know, one of the things I found really interesting was, you know, there was actually a recent study released on SLT, and this is something that was mentioned in the article. Patients on SLT experienced delayed visual field progression. And, you know, I was thinking about that. How so if we're keeping patients on drops and every time we check the pressures are staying low or on target, why are our drop patients progressing? What's your thought on that? Do you have a reason why that could be happening?
I think there's maybe a handful of ideas. One idea is if we assume 100% adherence, maybe the drop itself is wearing off. Maybe it's instillation technique. They're getting it in, but are they getting it in properly every time, every day? And even so, if they are, there's the drop might not last as long. They're in between refills. So there's so many factors for it. Even in this article, they talked about with topical medical therapy, vision on topical therapy. So there's a benefit to being proactive. If our goal, Hamza, is to save and preserve vision, we want to have this proactive approach for it. So I think this is when we do that. You know, I'm thinking about different treatments. When we think about starting a patient on glaucoma therapy, in my mind, I'm thinking, will this treatment be sufficient? That's our main goal. Is it going to be low enough to prevent visual field progression and preserve the visual function? Is it going to be tolerable? Is it sustainable? Is it affordable? Mm-hmm. Are they capable of doing this drop every day for the rest of their life in a manner where the drop gets into their eye and has a full medicine effect? And there's a lot of barriers that comes from topical therapy with that. However, if we switch to procedural therapy or interventional glaucoma management, a lot of those are checked off. They answer all those questions. It's sufficient, sustainable, tolerable, affordable, capable. We're taking that adherence factor out of the patient and have a little more control of the patient's disease process. And that's right. We're just changing the disease process. We're changing the course of the disease in a higher, more elevated, proactive way.
Yeah, I mean, those are, I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head, covering all those points on how these progressive approaches of treatment are going to help our patients.
Yeah.
Can you discuss the protocols that were mentioned within the article, just for our viewers to understand?
Yeah, this is great. I want for graphs, Hamza. So I love graphs. So for the viewers, the listeners, if you can click on the link so you can find this article, but it has the four main stages of along the glaucoma spectrum, from ocular hypertension and glaucoma suspect, early glaucoma, moderate glaucoma, coma. And my mind is basically they're trying to stratify these patients based on what's our RNFL reserve number. The less reserve we have, the more aggressive we need to be. The higher the eye pressure is, the more aggressive we need to be. And it kind of gives us this idea of urgency based on where they're at in that disease process. I think importantly with glaucoma, it's a journey. And we have to always have plan B, the next step, if this one doesn't work sufficiently. And so we have to plan that out both in the present, but also what's it going to be looking forward. And these graphs do that well based on the stage of the glaucoma. I think in my mind, that's key for me. It comes down to two things: age and stage. What stage of the patient? What's the stage of the disease? How likely is this patient expected to lose vision in their lifetime? And what can we do proactively now to preserve that? And that means many times jumping ahead with some procedural therapy rather than just doing topical therapy. So it's a great graph section. I'd recommend the listeners take a look at that and see how that applies in their clinic setting. The only thing I'd change to this, Hamza, as I'm thinking about it, is I'd add gonioscopy as one of the first steps in there. I really feel like as optometrists, we're going to be more inclined to do interventional glaucoma if we do more gonioscopy. In other words, our proportion of gonioscopy related to our proportion of interventional glaucoma. And it's really easy. Many times I'll do the patient for the evaluation. If I don't do gonioscopy in the first few visits, I may not remember to do it. So within visit one or two, I'm doing gonioscopy. And by that time, I've already done the laser or the gonioscopy, the procedure. And I'll ask patients, I'll tell them I can do a procedure like this with a machine like this, the laser, for example, if we're thinking of SLT to help the natural drain work better. They see what we're going to do. It's a simple process, just took a few seconds to do the gonioscopy. I think it helps out with the conversion rate, but it helps me in my mind know what's our next step to help preserve vision with a proactive approach.
I really liked how you just put that there. And one of the questions I had was, how do you convince patients to start treatment? Sometimes I have difficulty convincing some of these patients, glaucoma being an asymptomatic condition, patients don't necessarily realize that, hey, I've got this condition. You can try to convey that message through all the testing we do, but sometimes you still don't get it across. And when you offer them drops, some patients take it, some patients don't, because again, they don't feel this condition. When I feel like I'm talking about a surgical procedure or even any procedure like SLT, sometimes it can be even more difficult to convey the patient that, hey, you really need this. They're scared. I mean, they're genuinely concerned that, hey, I could suffer from some complications from this procedure. But if you're doing gonioscopy to begin with and you tell them, hey, this procedure, SLT, is going to feel just like this, it's going to be as simple as this, I think that would really help them understand that this procedure is really simple and is truly going to help them with their glaucoma.
Yeah, I think it gives them awareness and understanding, a little more certainty. Now, just thinking as you're talking about that, you called it Eisegeddon for your current ice storm you had down there in Houston.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling
Okay.
it.
We hope you survive from it. I'm thinking the more distant the risk, the less urgent it is. So if think about you had this ice storm coming up, you probably knew about it a week in advance. We had knew about our storm in a week in advance. Didn't really prepare for it or change things we're doing, our lifestyle or anything like that, until maybe a day before. Dealing with glaucoma, there's a distant risk of loss of blindness, loss of vision. But the more distant it is, the less urgent we are. So I think it's for interventional glaucoma, it's twofold. We have to, as providers, have this different mindset. But also for patients, we have to help them realize it's a distant risk, but things we do now make a difference on road. And we'll make sure you have the vision you need as long as you need it. So we need somehow shorten that distant risk to a shorter area. Like, here's what we need to do now so we can correct and preserve your vision later.
For sure. That's great. Have you adapted SLT as your primary mode of treatment for your glaucoma patients, or are you doing drops in some, SLT on others.
Every patient who is a good candidate for SLT, I recommend it as first line therapy. Now, having said that, not everyone does it. They prefer topical therapy. Maybe it's hereditary in the sense that their parents took drops and they were fine. Or maybe it's they just want to try that in their mind to try that first step. And if that doesn't work, then to do it. But I'll phrase it, if you're someone who thinks you can take drops every day for the rest of your life, we can try this as a first option, or we can try SLT as a next option. But every person who's a good candidate for SLT, I recommend as first line therapy.
First line therapy. Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Yeah, I feel it's such a safe procedure. And you being up in Indiana, I mean, optometrists can't perform SLT there. Unfortunately, in Texas, we're still fighting for it, but hopefully soon.
Yeah,
Hopefully soon.
it's better patient care.
Absolutely. I'm going to shift the focus a little bit away from the article and just general glaucoma. Tell us a little bit about your methods of just managing glaucoma. How often do you see your mild, moderate, severe patients back? And how often are you repeating some of the testing like OCT and visual fields?
Great question, Hamza. And I think each person's different. I think that's one of the reasons I'm interested in glaucoma so much, is each person's different. They each present their own age and their own stage of the disease. And the question, maybe the best way to answer your question, is how soon do I want to determine if it's stable? How soon do I want to be sure that it's not progressing? So in some ways, as a provider, we also have to be a little bit of paranoid provider and think, is this visual field truly stable? Is this really this patient's true eye pressure? Are they really taking their eye drops if they're on topical therapy? And a couple of thoughts is, if I see a test and it has correlating defects, if it's reliable, we escalate treatment if needed. We add treatment if it's shown signs of progression. On the other hand, if it's not reliable, it's not correlating, then I can just repeat it. So two thoughts are, if in doubt, repeat. And then correlate. So making sure that whatever test you have is it's correlating. And if you're in doubt, if you think it might be progressing, then I recommend doing it sooner. So generally, according to the guidelines, I agree, glaucoma suspect, low risk, maybe every year. Early glaucoma, every year to 6 months to 12 months. Moderate glaucoma, 6 to 4 or 6 months. And then advanced glaucoma, 3 to 4 months. I think especially those secondary glaucomas in young patients, I'd watch them more carefully than those that are low risk or older. And it really comes down to age and stage, and how long do you want to wait until you find progression?
Progress. I think that, and this is what I tell my students: look for correlation. If
Yep, good.
your RNFL matches your GCC, which matches your visual field, and at the end, all of that should match your optic nerve findings. And I always tell them everything should at the end match your optic nerve findings. If they don't, then you need to look quick more carefully if this is truly glaucoma or not.
That's when it's great, when it does match. Yeah. But I remember, Hamza, in one of distinct moment during your residency where we were working with a glaucoma patient, and then we both were a little confused, like, is this really glaucoma? And
I think that
that's
happened
when
more
we
than
realized.
once. That definitely happened more than once.
Wasn't it great? It's that point where you realize in your residency, why did I even do this? I'm more confused now than when I started. But that's what's great about it. We have to make sure there's correlation. Correlation increases certainty. And we don't have that correlation, we have to keep doing some other tests to get that certainty we need.
Well, I can tell you, I'm more confused now than I was when I finished residency, just to assure you. I'm moving
I'm
on
glad I could
that.
help out with that, Dr. Shah.
Thanks so much. So I've got one last question for you. I think this is a good one to end on. What do you think glaucoma treatment will look like in the next 5 to 10 years? And how do you think optometrists will play a future role?
I think this is generational. This article is reflective of where we're at. That 23 years ago, when I graduated, topical therapy was the mainline therapy. Here you are, you've just graduated a few years ago. It's changing. So I hope in the next generation, you'll be looking back and thinking, yeah, I remember we used to do topical therapy somewhat. Now we just do all interventional glaucoma therapy. It's headed in that direction. It's better for the patients, better for the providers, better for the public. The overall goal is, it's a win-win-win situation. We just have to have that mindset and have this proactive procedural treatment mindset for that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And maybe I've been watching too much football, but I was thinking with glaucoma, I feel like we're often playing not to lose currently with all the drops. And I know we're getting more into SLT and procedural pharmaceuticals, but I don't think we're there yet. And we're playing from behind. But when I was reading this article with this progressive approach to glaucoma treatment, with this treatment paradigm, I feel like we can start to play to win.
That's a great analogy. Great point. Why are we being reactive for a proactive disease?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this wraps up episode one of From Paper to Clinic. Thank you, Dr. Lifford, again for joining us and sharing such great insights. I've truly learned a lot. I hope our viewers did as well. Episode two will air in the first week of April, featuring Dr. Rahman Bakri, and we'll be shifting our focus to retina. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time.